the girls' basketball team from the Kiowa County High School got first place in a tournament at Larned. They'd played every other day this week, it seemed like, and they, in order for you not to lord over them or applaud them too much, they scheduled a K-State basketball trip this morning. So they're there, going to go watch K-State women's basketball today. But three of the girls made all-tournament team, and one was MVP of the tournament. So next week, love on some of those girls and congratulate them. Last week, we started kind of adventuring into the Christmas season a little bit, and I talked about Mary and Joseph and the fact that God revealed himself to them and his plans to them. Joseph in an angel in the form of a dream that appeared to him, and then Mary went direct contact with an angel. And that it's at a great advantage they had about God's revelation and his epiphany and speaking into their lives. And I encouraged you to hollow out a spot, to empty yourself a little bit of self and other stuff, to make room for Christmas, to make room for God's revelation in your life. And today, we're going to, if you didn't have a chance to do that this week, I'm going to give you five things to put in that space. So you're going to have to make room for them this week, all right? So maybe we'll give you a little pause at the end of the service to hollow out some space. So we're going to do five things very quickly that will help you celebrate Christmas. By the way, this is the parsonage. Almost. It's close. So you go, really? It's close. So anyways, but celebrating Christmas. And this isn't maybe one of our standard Christmas texts, but in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote this to the Philippians. The church at Philippi said, Jesus Christ did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. God, I pray that you'll be with the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our gathered hearts, that we could tune in just a little bit more to Christmas. Tune in just a little bit more to good news of great joy for all people. Tune in just a little bit more that a Savior has been born because we needed one. Be with our time this morning, we pray, in the powerful name of the Christ child, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So we're full into it. When you were at the beach, and we went to the beach when we were in Mexico, that was part of our suffering down there. At the end, before we flew back home, we went to the beach. And when you're in waves, you can see them kind of coming. And then sometimes as you're more towards shore, you're in the wave, and then the wave punishes you. We're in the wave. A little bit ago, we had the campus lights. We've had the concert choir. Going forward, we're going to have the community candlelight service here at the church on Christmas Eve, and I'm looking forward to spending that with you. But we are full-blown in Christmas. And I hear people say, and please hear me, I don't want to fight a battle of semantics with you this morning, but I hear people say, we are celebrating Jesus. He's the reason for the season. And I'm completely on board with that. Because we are celebrating, and they'll say, we are celebrating the birth of Christ. And I say, yes, and. Okay, to saying we are celebrating the birth of Christ, I'm on board with that, but we aren't just celebrating the birthday, all right? If we're just celebrating the birth, we all have birthdays. What do we do on our birthdays? We give each other presents. What do we on Jesus' birthday? We give each other presents, but it's not just his birth, okay? So this morning, I'm not trying to fight with you on it's his birthday, and we celebrate that at Christmas, but Christmas is so much more. So I don't want to whine excessively because I don't have time. Please hear me. I love to whine just like the rest of us, but we don't have time for that today, so we're going to jump in and we're going to do 5 points, the other things for you to think about this Christmas season that we celebrate. And so when you hear that Jesus is the reason, you say, yes, he is, and we celebrate his birth, but we also celebrate, point number one, we celebrate the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. That he gave his only son. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Why does he give those good gifts at Christmas? Life, abundant life, eternal life, hope, forgiveness, a voice to sing, a song for all nations. He gives us that. He gives us forgiveness and grace. He gives. For every good and every perfect gift is from above. The Spirit has given every man, which leads, the Spirit has given to every man, which leads to spiritual gifts, which leads to us giving to the body of Christ, which leads to us giving to our community and our world in bigger and better ways than we could without Him. For it is by grace you have been saved. It is not of yourself. It is a gift from God. We celebrate the gift from God. Yes, it's the birth of Jesus, but we celebrate that we serve a giving Father, a Godhead, this three in one. I will pray to the Father, Jesus said while He was here on earth. I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another comforter. For the wages of sin is death, kind of discouraging, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Behold what manner of love the Father. I always want to sing this verse, and I'm not going to. I am not the singer in the family either. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. This year at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we celebrate that God gave Him to us. Secondly, we celebrate His messianic promises kept. I don't know about you, but I don't like to argue with old school Baptists. It's just a thing I don't enjoy. But old school Baptists have in their theology system 191 messianic verses picked out of the Old Testament. 191 promises. Another more aggressive group went with 324 messianic promises. A more conservative group went with just 44. I don't care whether you're an old school Baptist or a regressive or really conservative. You got between 44 and 324 promises. I don't care. Land somewhere in between. God's a promise maker. But more than that, He's a promise keeper. The great theologian, actually, I don't remember her name. It's one of Gru's adoptive daughters from Despicable Me, because I base most of my theology on children's videos. I've had kids my whole adult life. Don't blame me. But Gru's youngest daughter, she goes, are you going to do this? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. And she goes, do you promise? Oh, yeah, I promise. And she goes, do you pinky promise? He goes, oh, yeah, my pinky promises. We as human beings, we want that kind of assurance because we're not very good at keeping our promises. At Christmas this year, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We celebrate the fact that God's a giver, and we can celebrate the fact that He made promises. We read some of them in our scripture reading today from Isaiah. God made promises, and He kept His promises. At our old house in Grinnell, Katie's room was upstairs. It was what was formerly known as the boys' room, and then they were never welcome back because we had another child. So, no, they were welcome. They just got to sleep in the basement when they came home. Eagles ruffle the nest, cause them to soar. Anyway, so, but her room was up there, and to her, it was a long ways. I mean, we were right below. We could hear her. But she'd say, Dad, will you come up and check on me? Yeah, I'll come. Will you check to see that my icy water is still icy water? Yeah, I'll check. And after a while, I don't know if she caught me not checking or what, but she'd ask me that again. She says, Dad, do you promise? Yeah, I'll come up. Do you cross your heart? I don't know where she learned that. So I said, yeah, I cross my heart. So sometime at halftime or something, I'd sneak up there and see if she was asleep, and I would check on her. I don't know why, but she needed me to. But we don't have to ask God to do a pinky promise or to cross His heart, because He is a promise maker and He's a promise keeper. And this Christmas season, we celebrate that He made messianic promises between 44, 191, and 324, and He kept them. This Christmas season, celebrate as you get together with relatives and you exchange gifts and you sing songs and we sing carols, celebrate, and boy, this is a big one, celebrate that there was an equal invitation given to shepherds and to kings. I love that part of Christmas. Royalty and shepherds, wise men and uneducated, slave and free, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, male and female, the in crowd, the out crowd, everybody got invited. I like the fact that, I don't know where we get the nativities, but I like the fact, and this isn't accurate probably, they were probably all people of color. They were wise men from the East. They got in on the story. Before the story was the story, they were on their way. And today, I like the fact that we have people who sang in languages and did things that we don't normally do here. And I was a little uncomfortable when we started doing this. But I think I liked it. But I like the fact that we have folks in South Africa and Zimbabwe and of all races. And in one of the songs that we sang, one of the old hymns, it talked about to save our race. And if you read that as our race and our color of skin, you read that wrong. It's the human race. Don't miss that. And that because, God, we celebrate an equal invitation. Isn't it nice sometimes to be in the in crowd? Or you walk into a room where you're thinking you're not going to know anybody, and then all of a sudden across the room you see somebody you know, and they see you, and they go, I'm with them. Or, he's with us. Christmas, God said, they're with me. And it's not just us. It's not just mid-America. It's not just Americans. It's not just Kansans. It's not just Haviland, Kansans. It's not just Quakers. The ground around the cross is level. And if you're not comfortable with that, then you need to hollow out some space this year. And invite God in to help you be comfortable with that. We celebrate the equal invitation to shepherds and kings. Fourthly, we celebrate Emmanuel. We sang it this morning. God stretched out his hand to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes I know some of you think, well, he uses sports illustrations. Well, that's because people can relate to sports. Well, sometimes he uses movie illustrations. I'm sorry, people watch movies. Get over it. It was a classic movie, ignored by the Academy, the movie Hitch. Starring Will Smith and Kevin James. But there's a scene in there, and it ends badly. But Will Smith is trying to make Kevin James figure out how to connect with a lady, and he's teaching him how to kiss. And he goes, oh, now listen, when you go 90%, and then you have to wait, and you wait for her to come this way. And if you've seen the movie, you know, he goes, you go 90 and you hold, you got to hold, you know, you go 90% and you got to wait, and you got to wait. And what I'm saying is, if you've seen, watch the edited for television movie again, but at Christmas, God came 99% of the way. Emmanuel, God with us. It wasn't just the birth of God. It was that God came, and then he was a man, and then he walked, and he taught, and he healed, and he gave hope. And he stretched out his hands, and he came 99% of the way. And no longer is it God way up there. It's God right here. It's God right here. It's God just a whisper away. No longer is it a God who, he's still this God. He is still booming in the heavens, and his voice is like thunder. But he's also that gentle whisper that said, let the little kids come to me. Let me hold them on my lap. Let me lay my hands on them and bless them. It was Emmanuel, God with us. It's no longer flashes of lightning and power. It's God with flesh and pulse. God came. We celebrate Emmanuel. When we were in Sinaloa, in the state of Sinaloa, and we went to another village up, a larger village, and it had a church that was along the river to begin with. The church itself, the Catholic church there, was 700 years old. And then they moved parts of it. I have pictures of it, some of the bell tower. The existing structure there was over 300 years old. And we have a rich history here with the college and Haviland Friends Church. The college is celebrating 100 years old. But think about it, 300 years old. And we went to another large Catholic facility in the town we flew out of. It was a huge structure. And in some of the places we went around and we looked at stuff, we were respectful. But Marco, I said, what does that say? And it said, you know, ladies, you know, behave properly in front of this. You know, and if you're not dressed appropriately, dress appropriately. What does that mean? Why do we have to do that? And then I read recently about the Western Wall. There's a sign at the Western Wall in the Holy Land, and it reads, "You are approaching the holy site of the Western Wall, where the divine presence always rests. Please make sure you are appropriately dressed so as not to cause harm to this holy place or the feelings of the worshipers." I don't know how you feel about the saints and things around the Catholic Church, and I don't know how you feel about the Western Wall. But what I want you to know today is the presence of Jesus is with us. He's at the Western Wall, and he's at the Catholic Church in Mexico. His divine presence came. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And as much as he knew that his presence was important, after he ascended, he knew and he assured his disciples, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And his last words were, "I'm still Emmanuel." We celebrate that I am still with you. He departed with the same promise. The promise that Jesus, when Mary and Joseph started to get on board with this revelation, this epiphany, that you will name him Emmanuel, God with us. You will call him Emmanuel. And he said, "Remember, I'm still Emmanuel. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." This year at Christmas, as we look at the trees, as we look at the lights, as you drive through Lemons Park, have you guys done that? I have now, twice. Because my wife said, "Hey, there's another driveway." Turned out to be the same driveway. It just looked different the second time around. So Katie was thrilled. We did a second loop. But as you look at those, we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. And finally, and this is going to sound a little weird, and we're going to try to land it. My ideal time was 3 minutes per point today, since I had 5 points, and some of you are probably timing me and seeing if we got there. But we celebrate the descension of Christ, all right? And you say, "Todd," some of you just made up a word. I know. My little spell checker didn't like it. And so I looked it up, and some modern dictionaries have descension. I don't know why. We can descend a plane, and sometimes the pilot says we are entering our time of descent. But he doesn't say descension. And I know sometimes when people don't get along, it's a different kind. But we like to think about Jesus ascending to heaven. We're on board with that. But I think sometimes at Christmas we forget that, even though my spell check doesn't like descension, that Jesus left heaven at Christmas. Jesus left the Father. He left the Spirit. He left the creative force of everything that you see and became one of us. Jesus left heaven to save sinners. I was looking for, when you're traveling in the mountains and there's those signs that say what grade you're about to try to stop on. And then it says, "If you have a first gear, put it there now." You know, those kind of signs. Then I found this one. And it's like, if you're that close to the sign, Todd doesn't get close enough to that sign to see it. If that's really a danger that you're going to just fall off. And the other thing is if you fall off, maybe you should have. Was there that Darwin thing going on or something? And then this is somewhere in Mexico where they've decided it was a good idea to go up the pyramid without realizing you have to go back down. So they put a rope in place so you should get back down because it's a dangerous descent. We sing, "Glory to God in the highest." And in other times we sing, "King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come down." And you know what? He did. He lowered himself to be one of us so that there could be peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I've been here since the middle of August, and I suppose this is the middle of December. Haviland Friends Church, I don't have all the answers for us yet. I got to be really, really, I'm mostly honest with you. I'll be candid with you. I don't even have all the questions yet. But I do have one key thing that I want us to think about going forward as a church. We celebrate Jesus Christ. We celebrate Christmas. And this year, maybe, if you can hollow out some space, God wants to show you just a few. He wants to expand that picture theologically for you. He wants to expand that out till we celebrate Emmanuel. We celebrate that we have a giving God. We celebrate that the ground around the cross is level and that he called shepherds and royalty to himself. That's what we celebrate. Pray with me. God, today I thank you for these folks who came here to worship today, to bump into you. And God, I'm thankful through your Holy Spirit and through the power of your word that they won't be disappointed. And God, today I pray that as they go forward, that they will hollow out a little time. It's a busy season. And some of them they're not even sure they're going to be able to figure out where they're going next. God, I pray that they can slow up just a little bit to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. And yes, he is the reason for the season. And yes, we celebrate his birth. But God, help us not to sell that short. God, thank you that in your great wisdom and stuff that we can't even understand, that you allowed him to descend to be one of us and to walk among us and to die for us. Thank you for Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for putting up. I know we maybe went a little long today. If you get home late, just be hopeful that the Broncos are already winning when you get there. Okay, maybe not. Hug some people, smile at some folks, shake some hands. You're dismissed. God bless you.